this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And you know why we're here? We're here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in because it's a very special day. Got a very precious friend in studio with me, and that is Sarah Groves. She's been on the show plenty of times before. We're celebrating the release of her brand new album, Floodplain, and we've got three copies to give away. You got to get on the air, and you got to just chime into the conversation to get a copy of the album. But I want you to know that the Set Apart Committee just let us know right before the show that they have 10 sets of tickets for the Sarah Groves concert, which is going to happen on the Friday night of the Set Apart weekend, which always takes place the first weekend in March, right? So even if you're coming from out of town, you should make a weekend of it. You can book your hotel now, come in and join the Set Apart during the day, go to Sarah's concert at night, and then go to Set Apart during the day as well. The concert is separate, right? The ticket price. And so they're giving two sets. So like if you win, I'm not going to explain this, you get two tickets. I think that's pretty explanatory, isn't it? I'm complicating things a little bit. 10 sets of tickets. So you and your friend, all right? So email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and write Sarah concert tickets. And the first 10 of you with mailing addresses will get those tickets. Susie@myfaithradio.com. But as I mentioned, we've got three copies of her brand new album, Floodplain, to give away. But you got to get on the air. Chime into the conversation today, 877-933-2484. And then second hour, Jim Burns joins me back on the program to talk about passing faith on to the next generation. Looking forward to that conversation as well. So let me not waste another minute. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Sarah Groves is a mom, a wife, singer, songwriter, recording artist. She's advocated for international justice mission and victims of human trafficking for the past 10 years. She's received several Album of the Year recognitions and has been nominated for 7 Dove Awards. Amazing. She's produced 12 albums in her 17-year career. She and her husband, Troy, and their three children, Kirby, Toby, and Ruby, live in the St. Paul area, where they cultivate an artist support community out of a 100-year-old church called Art House North. You can find her on the web at sarahgroves.com. Dear Sarah, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Susie. Always a pleasure.
I just love our time together, Sarah. And I'm wondering if you could start out by just sharing a verse. Is there a verse you've been camping on these days thinking about that you can share with us?
Yeah, kind of thinking about what we might talk about today. I have two verses.
Okay.
The one is Romans 7, 24 and 25, where Paul is talking about the spirit and the flesh. And he says a phrase that I have said many times the last few years, who will save me from this body of death?
Hmm.
Praise be to God in Jesus Christ. And then the other verse I've been camping on that has a similar tone is in Colossians 1, and I'm drawing a blank now, but he says, Christ in me is the hope of glory. And he says, God has done this thing in you so that the Gentiles would see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I've been camping on that because I've been just medding out and thinking about, you know, the pendulum swings between discipline and letting yourself off the hook and sense of legalism and a sense of love and finding yourself on that spectrum. How much of what we do is kind of like our fault?
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is, are we a subject to our circumstances? How much are we, surrendered in our daily life? And these questions are things I've been really digging into over the last few years and just looking at, you know, our patterns and things like that. And anyway, just our hearts and our minds, our flesh and our spirits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We hold a lot of tensions as believers.
Yes, we do. I mean, it is just this sort of dichotomy because on one hand, to gain momentum in any area, there has to be a measure of consistency. But mm-hmm. on the other hand, we are such formulaic people that we make religious rules out of our disciplines,
yeah.
and somehow that substitutes for grace and for love and for life.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in that tension, don't we?
We do, and I think sometimes we lose empathy. We lose sight of empathy for others because maybe we came at something a certain way. We think other people should come at it that way as well. When all of us have different strengths and weaknesses, mm-hmm. you know, we're wired differently. And, you know, the Gnostics said the body doesn't matter. It's all spiritual. And I don't believe that's what Jesus was saying, or that, you know, Paul clearly is not saying that. So, how do those things play into our, how we look at other people or judge other people and their, you know, their lives? And like you said, you write a lot about this in your new book about the ritual and the momentum. I love that chapter on the momentum. You're right. The only way to rehabituate our prodigal hearts is through, you know, these rituals, these things we are intentional about. But, we kind of get in those places where we've made that a new law.
Mm-hmm. And we disengage then. It's autopilot. And when you disengage your heart, you disengage your faith. And I'm telling you, I think even in the consistent disciplines and even in the momentum, if it bears fruit of pride and self-assurance and self-righteousness, it's the wrong kind of fruit. And I think that's why, like you and I were just talking, wasn't it Oswald Chambers who said, let God be as original with others as he is with you? Because if the fruit coming out of my life is because I'm so proud of my consistency, I've already lost my way. And we're all in such different seasons. It's at the end of the day about abiding, but it's going to look different on all of us, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say let grace abound.
Amen. Amen.
Let grace abound.
So this is a loaded question, and I'm putting you on the spot. So if you don't have an answer, we'll go to the first song on your album.
Okay.
We got a backup plan, so we're good.
Do I just say, I'm not taking any questions right now?
That's perfect. Okay. That's where you hear the click of the cameras. Anyway, so if you were to look back over the last few years and were to write a book on the last few years, how would you title that book?
Wow.
Like just maybe what you've learned about God, learned about yourself, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, man. that's such a good question. I wish I had like a really clever, snappy, witty response, but I think it would be summed up in a Simone Weil quote. She says that the strongest part of our will is our consent, not our effort. And I think what I find in that is that, for all my striving, it is my surrendering that is more effective. You know, is the more effective part of my will. And I guess that the role God would play. Sorry, this is a really long book
title. I love
it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a big book.
It's a very long book. Yes.
It's a large book.
Yeah, yes. And we're about to, you know, get into some of these things. But the last 3 years have been marked with a very heightened journey with anxiety and depression for me. And so I've been, that's where all this, I'm kind of speaking theoretically at the top of the show, you know, about the spirit and the flesh. But for me in my reality, I've been trying to figure out what's happening to me and whose fault is it? And how do you see me? And are you up there saying, come on, get your stuff together? Or do you have grace for me? Is this how I'm made? Is it, you know, how much of it am I bringing? Am I causing my own suffering? And so these are the questions I've been bringing to God. And I've been finding that quote about the will to be very true and scriptural, that my role really is surrender, and that God is he's catching us. He catches us. He bends low. That's what it would be. He's bent low to meet me in such a beautiful way this last few years. And where I maybe expected like a stringency or like a lecture, you know, he's spoken tenderly to me. He's dressed me in fine raiments. And God bends low. Maybe that would be the title of my book.
That is perfect. Thank you for answering that. I mean, I really put you on the spot. And what a beautiful answer. I think you're probably speaking to somebody today who's just been arrested by what you've just said, wondering if God sees them, and if so, how he sees them. Okay. Floodplain. Talk about the title of this album and just the whole idea behind this album, what you want to convey.
Well, it's in a nutshell, because there are a lot of tributaries to this river. I went on a history tour of St. Paul with a friend of mine, Lindy, and we were learning about how the immigrant communities would build on the floodplain. And the story was about Mama Mancini. Mancini's is a restaurant on 7th now, a steakhouse. But Mama Mancini had lost a child in the flood. So the immigrant community, they were very poor, and they would build these hovels on the floodplain. Well, then it would flood every couple of years. And so she had lost a child, and she started a kind of a spaghetti, selling spaghetti out of a shack, and then like moved up. And basically Mancini's is her hard work and establishing this restaurant. And I just kept thinking about that, about the Mama Mancini is the American story. I mean, it's the American dream that you, if you work hard enough, you'll move up the bluff. But I just kept thinking about all these other people, and just people in general in life. You know, Gary Haugen has brought light to people who live. They are subject to violence. They build and build. It's not that they don't want to build. It's not that they don't love their children
or that
want
they
good
don't
things,
work hard
or that they're not working hard. They're mm-hmm. working harder than any of us. And yet the floods come and they wipe out everything that they have. And so I was running one day along the Mississippi, and I was asking God the questions I said previously. Lord, I'm just struggling. I had such a churn in my body. It was so physical. I was struggling with depression, and just like the weight of it was daily work. It was such work to combat all the stuff going on in my body. And I was just saying, Lord, you know, how do you see me, you know, and how do you see the homeless guy who struggles with mental illness? Like, is he at fault? Is he kind of like, is he sleeping in the bed he made? Is he did he make bad choices, or is he subject to this sort of how he was made? You know, how do you look at him? And as I ran, I just felt like God said, I looked up to the right and saw the James J. Hill house up on the bluff. And I saw all the Summit Grand, you know, the Summit and Grand houses, the mansions up there. And I thought, you know, I saw, you know, a tent down on the floodplain and thought about these immigrant communities. And I just felt like God said to me, some hearts are built on the floodplain. And for me, this was a beautiful metaphor because I love the floodplain. It's gorgeous down there. I love to run and hike and walk down there. I feel connected to God down there. It's green. It's lush. It's beautiful. But also the floods come and the water rises. And so, this is a record about empathy. For, you know, it's easy on a high bluff to look down and say, when are you going to get your stuff together and come on up? But I think we have to make room for the glory of God expressed through people who are broken. And make room for those places and people's, some hearts are built there.
Absolutely amazing. Well, we have to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll hear the song Floodplain. It's the title track from Sarah Groves' new album, Floodplain. I'm Suzy Larson. This is The Promise. More with Sarah Groves in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. So blessed and honored to have my friend Sarah Groves in studio. We're celebrating her brand new album, Floodplain. And if you just tuned in, you missed her description and just her inspiration behind the album. Totally worth going back to hear the inspiration, what her thoughts are, how this album was born in her heart. We've got three copies to give away, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. If you're too shy to get on the air, you give Grace your question and we'll ask it and you'll get a copy, all right? We're going to hear the song Floodplain. It's the title track from her brand new album. Let's listen in.
Some hearts are built on a floodplain, keeping an eye on the sky for rain. You work for the ground that gets washed away when you live closer. Closer to the life in the ebb and flow, closer to the edge of I don't know, closer to that's the way it goes. Some hearts are built on a floodplain. And it's easy to sigh on a high bluff. When you've had enough,
Profound, Sarah. Really so beautiful. I've got Sarah Groves in studio today. We're celebrating her brand new album, Floodplain. That was the title track. We're going to try to squeeze in I've Been Here before the bottom of the hour break. So say a word, if you would, about this song and the story behind it.
Well, this would be kind of the boat, you know, that comes. Mm-hmm. A big part of my journey has been asking the question, have I been here before and what happened? And it we see it's biblical. It's that you look back on the faithfulness of God. You see that he's been faithful before, and that gives you the strength to, like Abraham, you know. I think when he's acting with Isaac, I think the story, you hear lots of sermons about his torment, about, you know, taking Isaac up the mountain. But I think he was looking back. I think it was kind of his final test, you know, in a way. And he was I've walked with the Lord. I don't understand this request, but I'm going to follow him here because I've followed him before. And he's led me by still waters. He's done these things in my life. So
you have a history with God. Let's hear the song, I've Been Here Before.
Chasing down the news that don't like me much. I've been here before, stretched out like a man under desert skies, waiting for the rain with a thirst inside.
bitter honey on my tongue, resting by still water. I've been here before, feasting at a table in a barren land, saying I'll never doubt, never doubt again, saying I'll never doubt, never doubt again.
I've been here before. That's off of Sarah Grove's new album, Floodplain. Just got a moment here before we go to break. But how long was the process between when you started writing and when you got this finished product? I really took your time this time. Sorry, but go ahead.
Definitely. Yeah. It's been 4 years since I released a new, you know, new whole group of songs, and I've really been writing since then. Maybe after the break, I'll tell more about that story. God sent boats to me, a fleet of boats, to help me out of my inertia and I was really in paralysis, and he knew what I needed and, just sent a whole fleet of people to help me create this record. So I really, it's on there that I produced it, but with a whole group of folks, and, it's really a beautiful, encouraging story.
I want to hear that story when we come back about how God sent her a fleet. I love that. We're also going to hear a few more songs from the album. Want to remind you again, Set Apart is coming up in March, the Set Apart Conference. I'll be there as well. Sarah's going to be doing a concert on that Friday night. So you've got the choice to attend one full day or both days, Friday, Saturday. So if you're listening from out of town, make the plan to come in town. We've got 10 sets of tickets specifically for the Sarah Groves concert. That's that Friday night. You've got to email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Make sure you send me your mailing address so I won't have to chase it down. And the first 10 of you will get a ticket for you and for your friend. That's Susie@myfaithradio.com. Also, if you're in the Twin Cities or you want to make the trek, Sarah's got a concert coming up this Friday at Cedar Valley Church, November 13th. We'll talk more about that when we come back as well. Don't go away. More with Sarah Groves in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Got my very precious friend Sarah Groves in studio to celebrate her brand new album, Floodplain. We're hearing stories, we're hearing songs, and we have 10 sets of tickets for you who plan on attending Set Apart Conference coming up its first weekend in March. It's here in the Twin Cities, right across the street at University Northwestern St. Paul. Well, on the Friday night, we like to do a concert. Well, Sarah Groves is going to be our person doing the concert this year. We've got 10 sets of tickets, so for you and a friend, to the first 10 of you who email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Make sure you include your mailing address. Just want to give a shout-out to Lisa Burkhart, to Teresa Martinson, to Barbie Odom, to Mary Chafin. You are the first four winners, all right? 877-933-2484 if you want to claim one of the albums. We've got two left to give away. Okay, before we play the song Expedition, you set up a story before the break when I asked you how long it took you on this program, this particular album. And I knew just from our previous conversation, this is one of those that was a work in progress where you just were kind of creating for creating's sake and not really having a deadline in mind. But then you said God sent you a fleet to help you out of inertia. Say more about that.
Well, I have had a pretty big life change in that my husband was my manager for 17 years, and he stepped away. We were in full agreement about this. He was looking for another opportunity and is working for International Justice Mission now, which we've talked a lot about over the years. So he's thriving. He's just, everything's coming up, Troy. He's having a lot of fun. But I think that when he stepped back, I was able to see that he was managing a lot more than the music. He was managing many aspects of my life because I've struggled in some areas of organization and just productivity and things like that. So I was kind of left with myself, you know, and my own stuff. And I have help. I have, you know, a manager, a new manager. But it was just a whole new paradigm. I was having to enter conversations I've never – he was protecting me from a lot of stuff. So I just really – my turns out my leadership style is to climb into bed and pull the covers over my head.
That's a style.
And, yeah, that's my style. My whole life felt like a closet of hockey gear. You know, I just couldn't open the door because then everything would fall out on me. And so I just found myself – I was in paralysis, really. And a friend of mine who played on my first five records – I played with guys in Nashville. He called and he'd been given a free week of studio time out in California at this beautiful studio. And he called and just like, you know, hey, I know you're planning. I was planning on working on a new record. I had nothing started, nothing really planned. So, and I really honestly would never have engaged with that. I was in a little bit like denial or just that full on procrastination mode. And so he just said, hey, I know you're wanting to do another record, but let's do something first. Let's go out and just play. What if we just had fun? What if there were no production dates, no label, no one asking for, you know, like samples of songs? Like, it's just completely Bandcamp. We just go out and play and have fun. And like, what would happen? What if you were to write with that in mind? You know, like, suspend all, like, who's the audience and what am I trying to say and whatever, like, if you were to just write from this very free place, what would you write? What would you want to do, you know? So, wow.
What a friend.
Oh, such a friend. And he had been through town and knew that I was suffering from this inertia, you know? And so it was just a huge gift. So we're out in Northern California at this gorgeous studio. And I remember at one point, it was Scott Dente from Out of the Gray, Matt Pearson, who played on Add to the Beauty. I mean, all those first five records, Steve Brewster, and then Dan Phelps. He's a younger guy from Seattle, and we're all playing, and it's like Steve made it sound like I'll bring the drums, Matt bring the bass, but we need songs. But, you know, you bring the song. So, okay, that sounds even, Steven, you know? That sounds like, you know, and my pride could kind of like, I could accept that, you know?
Yeah.
So we get out there and we're day two and they're just working really hard on my music, you know? And so I get on the talk back because Scott was saying like picking to a click is my worst nightmare. And I got on the talk back and I said, well, that's why we pay you the big bucks. Ha ha ha. Well, everyone's flown themselves out there, you know? And all of a sudden I get this lump in my throat almost before I even, you know, kind of like, why are we here? What are you guys doing? And I asked Steve, I turned around and I said, well, I know you said there's no expectation, no strings, but what's the secret hope here? And he stands up. He likes to make speeches. He comes over to me and kind of puts his hand on my chair and says, well, Sarah, our secret hope is that we hand you a hard drive full of music at the end of this week and that you feel like you have a vision for yourself moving forward and you feel like maybe it's your new record, you know? So it's like even the gracious way that they approached it, that was kind of in their minds the whole time. But, you know, you don't usually call an artist and go, hey, I'm playing on your new record, you know?
Right, right.
So just the way that they were so gracious and gentle in their invitation and made it feel like, hey, we're all just going to pitch in here. But when at the end of the day, I was making this extravagant record. I mean, it really like, you know, budget wise, one of the most elaborate and extravagant records I've ever made on the smallest budget I've ever had.
Wow.
You know? So it was just such, and then I just remember at the airport, they gave me the hard drive and no strings attached, you know, like this is free and clear. You go do what you need to do. So it was just an incredible gift. And I, from there, then you'd think then my inertia stopped and I like came to life Wonder Woman. But I didn't. I went home with it and was like, okay, now what? You know, and God just kept guiding and kept leading and bringing. I worked with Brown Bannister on vocals and like, Brown, help me. I didn't know what I was doing. And he just kept bringing friends that were so, you know, just, I don't know. It was like a big warm hug, the whole process. And I needed it even right down to these concerts that I'm doing, one in Nashville, one here at home. And, I don't know. I just feel like I can trust him. I can trust him. He's gonna guide me and lead me, even in spite of my own really lack, you know, of ability or certain skills.
How wonderful. Okay, what about expedition?
Well, this was based on I read a blog about Mako Fujimura is a painter in New York. Actually, lives in Connecticut. He is one of my favorite. He verbalizes his faith and the role of artist in the world so well. But I think this applies to anybody. He talks about how every single institution he knows has been infected with pragmatism and utility, where even our churches, he says, you know, like it's all about, you know, usefulness. And that's the measure of value is usefulness. Just that one line, I read that and thought about our churches and thought about, yeah, where are the useless people? Where is there room and space for people that don't maybe add, you know, certain types of value, you know? And so he talks about the role of the artist and really all of our jobs is to push back against this pragmatism and this utility, that God invites us into these extravagant and wasteful spaces, and that true beauty is found. Really, beauty is the response to, you know, even some of these thoughts about accidental, you know, that we just exist for no reason. Well, then why beauty? Why? What's happening there? There's no use for many things in the world that God has graced us with, you know? And so I saw the city as the work of man, the dream of man, and the dream of God. And we get those become convoluted. We mix, we start claiming that the dream of man is the dream of God. And I've been struggling with that lately, you know, and just saying, okay, wait a minute. The city is the dream of man. It's wonderful. It's accomplished. It's you know, amazing. But the river is the dream of God. How deep and abiding and timeless and we couldn't create something like that. And God invites us out on the river, Huck Finn style, and says, you know, once a week I want you to rest. And that is a demonstration of your faith in Jesus, you know, that you cannot do this on your own. And so as an artist, I've tried to create space. And I've found the same space I need to create a song is the same space I need for spiritual formation. Sabbath is countercultural, you know, but God's inviting us not into laziness, but, you know, we can judge all of our actions, like how useful is this? How productive is this? And that's not necessarily the way God is looking at things.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait. Let's hear.
Did you see the invitation to have nothing to prove? There at the end of striving, in the middle of something good, when you finally see that you can't pretend, the dream of God is the dream of man. Whoa. Oh, meet me at the red. Go! So meet me at the river. Oh, fashionless a raft.
You know, as a writer, I got to tell you, I'm constantly in awe at your ability and your insight, your ability to write and your insight that God gives you into the story of life. I marvel at it. Boy.
Praise God.
Praise God indeed. Mm-hmm. We've got Nancy Judd. We're going to take this to break here. Nancy Judd is winner of tickets. Let's see. Barb says, I absolutely love Sarah Groves. Appreciated hearing her story and her music. Would love to be at her concert. And you will be, Barb Stone. I've received a couple emails with no mailing addresses. So try again. Susie@myfaithradio.com. And Madison, you also won a set of the tickets from checking in from Iron River, Wisconsin. When we come back, we'll hear a couple more songs off of Sarah Groves' brand new off the charts album, Floodplain. Sarah doesn't know this yet, but at my funeral, she'll be singing that song. Now's a good time as any to tell you.
And you don't know it, but you'll be speaking at mine.
Right.
So that will work out.
That's so funny.
Perfectly.
Is this a bad time to talk about this? I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So honored and blessed to have Sarah Groves in studio. And I'm telling you, this album is amazing. They're all gone, by the way. One caller said, I was a missionary. Sarah's song, When the Saints, blessed me hugely. When I hear it, tears come to my eyes. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Wonderful.
Okay, and if you just tuned in, I'm telling you what, you got to go back and catch the whole podcast today, because she gives stories behind the songs of this new album. It's fantastic. The insights are amazing. Okay, how about the song My Dream?
My Dream is a really special song to me. My grandfather, I've talked about him over the years. Mm-hmm. I wrote the song Obsolete about his, you know, writing poetry about growing older, and he's 94 now, and a couple Christmases ago, he'll just start to speak, and it's kind of a formal, I don't know if you have someone like that in your family who they just start to kind of formally speak, and everyone gets quiet, and that we were at the table, or we were sitting there, and he said, he just began to go through he and Grammy's nighttime routine. Grammy, he really dotes on my grandmother, and he gets her, you know, something to eat, and then he stokes the fire, and she has some pain and things that she wrestles with. So then he's going through his nighttime routine. He says, lately, as the house gets dark, in that time as the sun is setting and the shadows are getting longer in the house, he said, I am just beset with doubt. And he said, I'm at the end of my years, and I wonder, have I done the things I was supposed to do, and have I? And he said, I just feel troubled in my spirit, like how much foolishness will God put up with, and you know, will he put up with, like, shouldn't I know better by now? You know, shouldn't I be sort of feeling, you know, this victory or something? And so he said, as I laid my head on the pillow for the last year, it's not a vision, but it's sort of a waking dream. And he said, I'm walking up a street, and the Father is waiting for me in the driveway. And he said, I can tell by his movement that he's not angry. And he said, that is how I have fallen asleep for the last year. And just taking in that story, I thought, that's a song. I didn't want to change a single word. So I tried to stay. Actually, Lloyd Colwell wrote this song. It's almost verbatim what he said. And the neat thing was, he went out to the car that day, and my Aunt Claudia she was in tears, and she said, because I was looking at her like, wow, that was amazing. And, you know, thank you for sharing that. You're 94 and you're still, you know, you're still bringing and your stuff to God, and you're still feeling that comfort from Him. Thank you, Jesus, for comforting my 94-year-old grandfather as he goes to sleep. You know, what a gift. And Claudia just had tears in her eyes, and she said, and then he was the driveway father for me, and he waited for me. And I thought, what a gift God extends this to us. Then we wait in the driveway for others. You know, we extend that same grace, that same love. So this song is almost verbatim the story that he told that Christmas.
Wow, here we go, My Dream.
Lights kill all in a darkening house. Ghost of doubt, whisper and wonder. What do I really know? All these questions to ponder. I have lived a life of faith. I have felt and heard the Spirit. Still the darkness brings its weight, and assurance is gone. I have a waking dream. You are standing in the driveway as I come up the street. I can tell by your movement you're not angry. You are
just hate our weakness. We hate the hardships. And that son of mine that you and I were talking about over lunch, you know, he was sitting at our counter and looking so broken. And I just said, you know, you're not used up. You're not defective. And it instantly touched a nerve for him, and his eyes welled up with tears. And I think we can go there so quickly. It, just as you said, we can go there so quickly in our strength to rely on our efforts and what we produce. We can just as quickly go into the ditch and think ourselves absolutely worthless, but we're worth something to him.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't think we have a clue how much.
So good. And I want to say a shout out to Deborah Payne. You get a set of the tickets. Jamie Rao, we love you. You get a set of the tickets.
Love you, Jamie.
Love you, Jamie. And then this friend, Chris, says, Dear Susie, I too have gone through a season of hardship and depression the past few years and appreciate hearing Sarah's story. Would love to be at her concert. Well, Chris, you will be with a friend. We literally have about a minute to hear one more song, and then we're going to come back and pray. Set up Second Guest Girl, if you would.
Well, I'm terrible at making decisions, so this is basically me. But with all the, you know, I have thought it's a weakness that I don't take more definitive stands on things. But I tend to see where people are coming from. And I've, in this song, I'm just saying, like, I think it's okay for some of us, again, for some of us to be wired this way, too.
Absolutely.
There are those people that have those, you know, they live at that declarative edge. I find myself as a let us reason together, you know, and so this song is about that, taking two sides of things, looking at it, you know, not because I'm wishy-washy, but because I want to,
I
want to be available and learn. Yes.
Very good. Let's hear.
Is it time for a speech or for silence? Are you calling for peace or defiance? Is this darkening counsel or wisdom? Are we all perpetrators or victims? Is this childlike, simple road history? Is it complex, deciphering mystery? Is this blessing or ill-gotten wealth? Am I speaking for God or myself? It's a girl. One hand and another. I try to take it in and it leaves me spinning. Trying to love my sister and brother. This confidence born of a calling. This ego and pride before falling. Are we standing to fight for what's right? Are we angry?
You know, when you think about it, God made us different with absolute intentionality, and there is a place for you at the table of grace. Sarah, would you pray for that friend listening today who deals with anxiety and depression and is feeling suddenly very validated listening to you?
Lord, I just pray for that friend who's listening. And Lord, we can go the pendulum swings where we feel like I'm just being lazy. And then we accept or maybe feel like, no, I need help. I need something. Lord, I just pray that we would be able to turn off that judging, critical mind, that we'd be able to tune into what you're saying. Lord, it's not just all wishy-washy love and sloppy grace. I've been assaulted with those phrases before, and you meet us where we are, Lord. And we have these time seasons where our bodies might be misfiring and all kinds of things are going on. Lord, I pray you would sit with that friend who is struggling right now, whose body is churning, and it just seems like there's no end to that churn. And Lord, we don't understand how all of these things work. We hold a tension between the body and the spirit, but you are Lord of all of it. And I pray that this person listening would feel freedom and in Christ and freedom to get help if needed. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Awesome. So good to have you, Sarah. Just treasure you so much. Thank you. Hour 2 is up next.